We come then to the second of the three gospel readings from St. John that fit with the catechumens and the scrutinies that they go through. Last week we had the woman at the well, this week the man born blind, next week the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And each one gets a little bit more serious in terms of salvation. It's one thing to thirst, it's much more serious to be blind. And it's one thing to be blind, but it's much more serious than that to be dead. So we're cascading down into seriousness of situation. And one of the things that's being told to us is that our situation, our need for salvation, is serious. It's a matter of life and death. And so today, the gospel is all about light, and it's about seeing and blindness. And so let's just look into that a little bit more deeply. The first thing to know is that this is a conversion story. The man born blind, Jesus says that it's not a sin of his parents or him or anything. It happened so that the glory of God might be revealed through him. Okay, revelation is shedding light on something. So the man born in darkness is going to be the instrument through which Jesus sheds light upon the salvation of the human race. The man unwittingly becomes an instrument of salvation, and that's what we all are. We become, through grace, through baptism, instruments of God's salvific action in Christ. And so in this conversion happening, he starts out in total blindness and, in at least in a metaphorical sense, in sin, in darkness. But he gradually comes into full sight and into full light. So he has three different names for Jesus. The first time they question him, he says, "That man smeared mud on my eyes and then told me to go and wash, and now I see." And then when they question him further, he said, "He's a prophet." And then when he confronts Jesus later, he calls him Son of Man. And then finally, when he comes to full stature of faith, he calls him Lord, and he worships him. So he's coming. It's a conversion happening. And all conversions happen gradually. And so this happens over a few hours, but it's, you know, a metaphorical story for the gradualness of conversion, that it's a lifelong process. We were all baptized. We all washed in the pool of Siloam. We were all in the darkness of sin and doubt and death. And we washed in the baptismal pool, and light came into us, and we began to see. But that lasts a lifetime, that conversion, in which we gradually come to full faith in Jesus and call him Lord and worship him. And the Pharisees are an interesting part of this story, because they are supposedly the seeing ones. They're the religious experts. They're the ones who, strangely enough, are blinded by their own conventions and by their own interpretation of the law. They are blinded to something totally new that is happening in their midst. And that's always a danger. In a culture, in a religion, we get set in our ways. We figure out the structure, and we figure out a way that it works in our favor, and in a way that we can feel kind of secure about our salvation, secure about our stature in the culture, the society, the religious experience. But that can blind us to something that is always new, to something that is always grace-filled and happening in our midst. And I think that maybe one of the things about the current virus crisis that we're in is that we've all been saying for the past couple of weeks, we're making this up as we go along. I mean, we on the staff have worked longer and harder this past week than we normally do, because we've been yanked out of our normal routines, and the things that we just do routinely don't work anymore. And I think everybody in our culture is experiencing something similar to that. The structures that you've learned how to work in your favor, so that you kind of get along and you're rolling along pretty easily, and now everything has been turned upside down and inside out. Nothing works the way it was supposed to. So we're all making this up as we go along. And we're tempted to despair. We're tempted to lose heart. We're tempted to get belligerent like the Pharisees and say, I know how this is supposed to work, and I'm not going to allow some new idea to come in. No, this is yanking us out of those conventions and forcing us into something new. And, you know, some of it is denial. There are government leaders who have been in denial. I think as a religious leader, I was in denial in the early stages of this. I just don't think many of us realize just the seriousness of the situation and how different it's really going to be. And now the scary part is we don't know how many weeks or months that this is going to last. And we don't know if we're going to be successful in our attempts to ward off the worst imaginings that have happened in some other countries already and may happen here. So fear and doubt and the temptation to despair, those are all possible. Another thing is prejudice. You know, historically, when crisis happens, built-in, submerged kind of prejudices come to the fore. And so typhoid fever, typhoid Mary was an Irish immigrant, and she was associated with some cases of typhoid fever, and so there was a prejudice against not only her, but Irish immigrants in general. And in the flu of 1918, prejudice again arose. On the front side of this, we always know in an intellectual sense, well, those things don't make any sense. That's totally irrational. But then we start reading the internet. We start communicating with people with strange ideas, and we begin to take that on, and things surface that we probably would be ashamed of if we thought about it, but it just kind of boils up with inside us. And so we have to be very careful about all these things. We have to be careful about our prejudices. We have to be careful about our stubbornness. We have to be careful about our unwillingness to change. We don't know on the front, we're still pretty much on the front end of this. We don't know how many things in our education system, in our culture, in our economic system are going to change rather radically. And so we're really having to trust. We're having to put ourselves out there in vulnerability. And we often talk about that here at Mass, that Jesus makes himself vulnerable. He makes himself uncontrolled in the situation. He becomes under the control of people less than him. And he's always asking us to put ourselves out there, to make ourselves vulnerable. And sometimes we're unwilling to do that, but now the situation has made us do that. And so let's pray that we would have the ability to submit to that vulnerability rather than getting stubborn and fearful about it. But just trust in God and trust that we're learning something new here. And some of it's going to be bad, but some of it probably is going to be good too. And God is going to, through grace, work through this in the end. And most of us are going to be okay, but we have to trust in this vulnerable time.